With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The College Football Experience, National Championship Reaction Show, and other college football news on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET is what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com, and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or just head over to betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's Better Fantasy, BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. We're also brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. And of course, you're brought to you by us, the SGPN app. Yes, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Hey, this is Derek Stevens. I'm the owner of Circa Las Vegas. You're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Welcome to the College Football Experience, Invitational National Championship Reaction Show, and other college football talk episode. My name is Colby Swinging Danter Base Dad, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee.
No one touches Dundee except. You know, those Georgia backers when Jameson Williams gets injured. I'm not making excuses, but I am joined by my co-host, former JMU Duke defensive back. Give it up for the burrito eating, sideline kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hi,
yeah, buddy. Those are power vibes coming at you.
First down. All right. Third man in the booth. Give it up for the DFS God himself. The homebrew making. Oh shit. I fucked this one up. The Tobacco Road living. Homebrew making.
Free lock given. You're all
I'm
over
all
the
over the place. All right.
Just say my name already.
Yeah. Right? Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
What's up, guys?
How you doing here? I'll give you music, man. Since I fucked up, I'll give you some epic music.
Nice recovery. Nice recovery.
This hits deep.
It does.
His name is NC Nick.
Beats here.
That's right.
If you're not sporting at least a half chub right now, you're not a man.
Our football season is done, but it's never done on the College Football Experience. So make sure you subscribe. We talk college football year round. Don't forget to subscribe to the College Basketball Experience as things heat up there. And we got the USFL Gambling Podcast coming April 16th. The USFL season kicks off. We'll have episodes out there before that. But anyway, here we are. NC Nick, the lone member of the three Musketeers to take the Georgia Bulldogs. Stetson Bennett is a national champion, which I will forever hold this against Patty C on recruiting. All right,
the former walk on. Hey, you know, but yeah, I know we'll get into this game here, and you know, in general, I am a humble handicapper, but not only was I the only one on Georgia, I was the only one on North Dakota State as well.
Throw that D in the air. NC Nick on fire to end this season.
Well, you know what? Now North Dakota State would have won regardless, but I do find it ironic that the best player arguably on each team got injured in the first drive.
You know, yeah. Sometimes the sun is shining on your ass, all right? Sometimes it isn't.
Now, North Dakota State was blowing them off the line so much. Like I told Patty C, they could have been starting Broadway Joe, and I think they would have lost. Montana State would have lost. But
and best player, because I mean Bryce Young did win the Heisman.
That's true, but I do think,
and they couldn't beat a walk-on quarterback at Georgia.
But they were also without like a ton of wide receivers. Their top two defensive backs. Look, I knew some of that, but I really think Jameson Williams. I was listening to Luganville talk about this. He goes, when Jameson Williams went out of the game, the defense could just. They didn't fear anybody. Huge. Everyone was all right. Freshmen, so they got to just attack Bryce Young.
And they were right, because when Alabama would throw the ball down the field, there were several key opportunities that were missed.
There's some big drops by Alabama. Exactly. Yeah, I know Young struggled through a couple picks, but there was also some drops by those receivers.
I mean, shit, on that last drive, the second to last drive, I want to say it would have been a lead changing touchdown. But it was blown.
And I said,
I thought for some reason people were not mentioning the Mechie injury. And I thought that was big coming into the game. And then obviously to lose Jameson Williams, also your two top receivers, the receivers that have come, you know, both like over 1,000 yards, like a combined like 25 touchdowns or something.
Well, so and Jameson Williams was like on pace for another monstrous game, because he thrashed him on that play, which got Alabama down to in field goal range. Yeah. And
it was like a 50 yard reception in the first quarter.
Yeah. He's on pace for 200 yards. but
also Bama got very lucky with that fumble.
True.
Who, you know, the defender didn't even know what he was doing, and it just happened to get his foot inbounds.
At that point in the game,
luck.
True. At that point in the game, we're like, Georgia's just cursed.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll say this, man, at halftime, we were watching here at the studio. I was telling Sean and Patty C, I was like, Bama should be up a lot more. They controlled the first half, in my opinion, but they credit to Georgia's defense in the red zone.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because I felt like if you took away the score and we weren't paying attention and you just watched, I feel like Alabama should have been up like probably around 17-3. I would have said should have been the halftime score. And instead it was a 3-point game, you know, like maybe even 21-3, you could make the case. Cause they got down there a lot.
They got down
and
like that the 3-yard line was big twice. Too.
Yeah. Yeah. But kudos to Georgia. Stetson Bennett, we're going to get you a statue, even though he was crying before the game. Come on. Where's the Tom Hanks? There's no crying in baseball. All right.
He's an emotional guy. All right.
Well, he was crying for like 5 minutes. I can see for a minute. This guy's like having a full on emotional breakdown.
Did you say before the game?
Yeah. After the game.
While the game was on.
Wait, he was having a breakdown.
At the very end after the pick six.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he was playing like a little bitch when that game first started.
Yeah. Oh, dude, they got very fortunate when he dropped the ball.
Oh yeah.
That bounced right up to him.
And now, to his credit, he settled in, but those first couple of drives, you're like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, as easily as Bama was driving on them and as bad as the Georgia offense looked, I was like, oh geez, I don't know, man. But
fact, like, I don't know that he would have taken that shot deep if Bama hadn't gone off sides, because he wasn't stretching the field vertically really at all.
Yeah.
So like Bama kind of shot themselves in the foot there on that.
Oh, he's Timmy Checkdown of the college ranks. There's no doubt about it.
And I thought the offensive play calling for Georgia was left a lot to be desired, especially in the first half.
Fourth quarter though, they whooped their ass, but look, so let me just ask you this.
Agree with you, Nick. The play calling was cha-cha-cha at best for Georgia.
Is Stetson Bennett, no, and kudos to Stetson Bennett. I don't mean to bomb on the guy, but I'm saying worst quarterback to win a national championship in the past, in pretty much in the 2000s.
Yeah, I think we asked that question before the game, and Patty C and I mentioned a couple Bama quarterbacks like McCarron and the guy that's on the Jets, McElroy.
Yeah, right? But McElroy, and he said Heupel too, but Heupel was actually really good on that Oklahoma team.
All the three of those guys are probably better than Bennett, so we have to go even further back, and my memory doesn't go back that far, so help me out.
Yeah, I think you got to go way back.
Chris Leak was way better. Fucking obviously Matt Leinart.
I think it might be the worst in my lifetime.
Wait, who was LSU's quarterback? Matt,
but Mock? He was an NFL player though.
Yeah. Was it Mock or
Flynn?
Flynn. Matt Flynn. Yeah. Yeah.
Craig Krenzel, better our guy though. Brought Craig up.
Krenzel lasted in the league for like a decent amount.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, well, we're pretty sure Stetson isn't going. I mean, especially with his size, he's not.
He might be a slot receiver. He's kind of quick. I could see him converting, you know.
Yeah, actually, Krenzel only lasted in the NFL 2 years, but.
Yeah.
All right, I got one for you.
What's that?
Fucking Ken Dorsey.
He lasted in the NFL a long time.
He was better. Yeah. He was better in college, too.
Yeah, he could throw like he was more consistent, dude.
He just looked like he shouldn't be a good quarterback, but he was actually
all right. Ken Dorsey lasted. He played professional football for 8 years.
That's unbelievable. Jay Barker, who
Alabama's quarterback in 92.
Oh man, that might be his competition.
That might be. Who says you can't win with defense?
I still think Barker was better in college.
I do too.
Stetson Bennett was only like good. Or semi good, like the last second half of the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Other than that, he never really showed much.
But that's a coup. I mean, that's a testament to this Georgia team.
Yeah.
Getting it done.
You know what's funny is two of the national championship quarterbacks in the 90s. I think Stetson Bennett would make a better pro quarterback then. And that's that. Both Heisman winners, both national champions, Gino Toretta and Danny Werfel, both complete pop guns. I think that
Werfel still lasts in the NFL a little bit.
Well, you could say also like Tommy Frazier and like some of the option.
No, but Tommy Frazier was so good. He was the clear best player on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're talking, it's two different things. Patty C. May said who was going to be the better pro maybe.
Yeah.
Which I mean, that doesn't really matter as far as, you know, the season and the game, but
Yeah. I mean, look, Stetson Bennett played great a couple times this year. You know,
he was great
against Michigan.
Against Michigan, that might have been the best game I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, he's not super terrible.
Hey, he came up with some big throws when it mattered most.
He's a national champion.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm using this recruiting argument forever.
You can't dislike the guy.
Yeah,
we're not shitting on you.
Technically, he was a preferred walk-on.
Okay. In 30 years, no one's going to remember the movie Rudy. They're going to have Stetson the movie, and Stetson. And it's like it's going to be the best movie ever. All right,
it's got Disney written all over it.
Oh, right? Yeah, big time.
Okay.
And you hung in with the best college football team in the land.
Isn't that about Georgia Tech?
Yeah, no, Notre Dame. About him staying with Notre Dame.
Okay, gotcha.
They played Georgia Tech in the final where Rudy got his
Rudy
sack.
Got the sack. Yeah, and Rudy was definitely offsides.
Yeah.
Details. Well, so was Georgia on that one play in the first quarter.
That's true. That is true, man. But hey, Georgia gets the win. We were talking about it in the office, and look, I'm not taking anything away from Georgia, but I would like to see a large playoff because they did play in the SEC East. And the question we asked ourselves in the office this morning was like, would they have taken a regular season loss in the SEC West or in a large playoff? And I said, potentially. I said, I know a lot of analysts said that everyone thought Ohio State was going to beat Michigan. And I know a lot of people said that that was a dangerous matchup because the weakness in Georgia's defense is the secondary. The strength of Ohio State's offense is in the receivers.
Yeah.
And that could have been a really interesting matchup. I'm not trying to take away Georgia's success yesterday or whatever, but I'm just saying in a large playoff, I do think.
Absolutely.
And we saw it. They went 1-1 against Bama, and Bama had to have a get really depleted with injuries.
Yeah. Ohio State had a 10 times better schedule than Georgia did, right? Yeah. That could account for the extra loss, but at the end of the regular season. Okay. And yeah, Georgia, when they faced John Metchie and Jameson Williams, and John Metchie only
they
for
got
a
torched.
Half,
they got torched.
What did Ohio State do? They had Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, who will both be first rounders.
What about the dude in the
And then fucking Jackson and Jigba
Smith. And Marvin Harrison Jr.
they would have torched Georgia. Completely right.
But Ohio State was not a complete team whatsoever. That defense was very iffy.
True, sure, but then you're Georgia. Putting Stetson Bennett in a position where he's got to win you the game, and that's what Alabama did the first time. And
Alabama's defense was a lot better than Ohio State's.
True, true. I'm just saying it would have been an interesting in a large playoff. I would
100% see Ohio State beating Georgia.
I'm just saying that
would have been interesting to watch. I think Georgia wins, but you're right about some of the matchups would make it very interesting.
I don't know that we would have had the same national championship is my point. I was
getting into it with some guys in the Slack channel, and yeah, so there's some of our favorite degens out there. So I'm not, you know, coming down on them, but they were saying that like, this was proof that we don't need a larger playoff. I was just like, I can't believe we're still having this argument.
Dude, it's a one versus a three seed. Like if we didn't have that, like 8 years ago, we wouldn't have had this national championship.
Yeah, we
expanded, yeah. And guess what? And one of the lower seeds goes to the national championship. What do you think is going to happen?
It would have been Alabama, Michigan then.
And Colby has poked so many holes in that argument. And the main thing is that part of it, at least, is maybe it still would have ended in Alabama, Georgia. And that's beside the point. The point is that more teams need a chance. More of the country needs a chance. And then maybe all the recruits wouldn't go to four or five schools.
No, dude, maybe
they'd stay in California and go to UCLA, USC. I mean, we've mentioned this 1,000 times. We're not breaking any new ground here, but a lot of people are still saying we don't need a larger playoff.
Yeah. Well, and that's bullshit.
I'll push back on you in the sense that I don't think we need a larger playoff in order for like more teams to have a chance because, you know, in a fair system, Alabama and Georgia are better like set up for this. You know, they're doing a better job of it. But I will say, because the system isn't fair, then yes, that is what we need to do in order to make it more fair.
And when you say fair, you're talking about scheduling.
Right.
Right.
All of the things that lead to these teams.
I mean, everything, but yeah.
Well, and just in general, I just think games should be played on the field, not in a classroom or a boardroom. Yeah.
I still don't understand, like, why would people be against like more playoff games?
Well, I mean, this is a perfect example. All these games were blowouts. All three of them were double digit wins. Now the Bama Georgia game, the score is a little deceiving because of a pick six.
Yeah.
But the result is I made this case with college basketball. I don't even remember who won the national championship the year George Mason made that run. Right. And I remember that UConn game where they beat UConn, and UConn was loaded. Rudy Gay, a few other NFL or NBA players on that team. And that's the game that stands out to me. And to me, I don't really care who wins the national championship when I watch each year. I mean, a little bit, but overall I want to see great games.
Yeah.
And to me, that is what we're deprived. Like, can you imagine if Utah and Ohio State, that was a Rose Bowl game that was useless.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they cared and if it was on a campus.
Yeah. That would be, we would remember that 20 years from now.
It's just like we remember Georgia versus Oklahoma a few years ago, which was essentially the same game, you know, but that's an all-time classic that happened in a playoff setting, but we don't get many of those.
How many people talk about the Kevin Dyson play from Frank Wycheck in the NFL that the Titans didn't win the championship?
That was a wild card game.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But, or the Dwight Clark catch. If I asked a random stranger out the street, who did the Niners beat in that Super Bowl? No one remembers that shit, but they remember that fucking game. And that's what sports are about, is connecting with these games, man. So, you know,
tell them,
come on.
Let me say this. I think the tradition had been sold for a long time as the important thing in college football. And that's the reason that people had this connection to the bowls that they don't want to give up. But obviously with the things changing, and we all know this, like, but I will say that the silver lining of people becoming money obsessed, selfish bitches in our society that don't care about tradition is that you get to chuck, you know, tradition based systems that suck like the bowls. And then hopefully we can get a playoff out of this.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see what comes of that, because I know they were meeting in Indianapolis. That was the more important thing going on this weekend. It wasn't that game. It was the actual committee, the alleged committee, seeing if they were going to expand next year or in 2026.
Convenient timing on their part to just like, you know, be completely overshadowed by the national championship as they make their decision here.
It is going to be 2026 if I had to bet, because it's college, you know, the NCAA and these, and no Sankey. One can get on the same page, and it's just, but this, I mean, this national championship got like 22 million views, if memory serves me correct. Which is great.
I was going to ask, how's that stack up to previous ones? I mean, is it growing? Are they getting more?
Well,
are people a little fatigued with the same old teams?
Yeah, it actually is a lot worse than when the playoffs started. But some of that is the fact that that cord cutting has happened. So it's tough to get a full gauge on.
I thought that includes. Yeah, streaming also.
I think it does, but at the same time, you also, there's probably people like when we watch on God's Eye, that is on the black the black market.
I mean, across the board.
Go ahead, Patty.
I was just gonna say it's gone down across the board. What you kind of have to look at is what it's done relative to other sports, but that's a hard thing to break down. But so that's whatever. But go ahead.
I bet you it's still crushing other sports. I mean, other than the NFL.
Yeah. It's still killing it. And I'm actually going to pull up the numbers in a second here. So they got 22.6 million viewers, compared to 2014, Ohio State, Oregon had 34.6 million. And that's what I mean is you get both parts of the country involved. I think people are a little, Bama Clemson in 2015, 26.7, 2016, Clemson, Bama, 26 million. 2017 Bama Georgia 28.4 million, 2018 Bama Clemson 25 million, 2019 LSU Clemson 26.9 million. Last year they didn't give us those numbers because of COVID, apparently all the numbers were down. And then this year 22.6. So still
But that's a pretty precipitous drop.
Yeah, you know,
especially for the same game like what, 4 or 5 years ago.
And USC Texas in 2006, I think it was, had 36 million views.
Well, that's tough to compare anything to USC Texas in 2006. I mean, that's going to be your high mark, but.
And I guess the question is, are we comparing apples to apples? You know, with all the streaming, do they have a good way to capture all those TVs? Is it the same, you know, is it the same, really the same amount of people, or are more people doing some black market TV programming thing? No, I still think that number is that high.
Well, I think also that people are tired of it. I brought up this point when I used to bartend. I remember people coming in there, and I would ask them, "Hey, you going to watch this game? Are you excited?" And I remember just from a West Coast perspective, I would play dumb, not even voicing my opinion on the sport, and I would just be curious. And they'd be like, "Oh, we don't feel like we have a dog in the race." You know, the NCAA is such. I remember hearing it from like Joe Schmo saying like, "Oh, no, I'm not going to watch that. They never let the Pac-12 have a chance." You know what I mean, or something like that. So
Not only is it, you know, the same, basically the same teams, or at least like three of the four same teams in the playoff every year, but we also just saw the same game three weeks ago.
Yeah.
So,
Look, I just saw this. Alabama has played in 9 of the last 13 national championship games. That's a problem. That's a problem.
You got to expand. But I have a feeling it's going to happen in 2026. And by then Nick Saban will be 79 years old or something.
Right. And three
still
straight,
killing it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay guys. Any other last thoughts on this game? I mean, I know that, I have a thought. We're in this era of player safety. And you know where I'm going with this. You know where I'm going with this. Everyone's into player safety, and to me, I think it sucks for the sport personally, but I mean, not that I want to see people dead, but at the same time, I think the sport is a tough sport, and I think you sign up for what you do just like in any other sport, boxing or whatever, and you play within the rules. You don't adjust the rules to make the game unlike the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, you try to make it as safe as possible within the rules. Meaning you keep the kickoff where it's at, in my opinion, or where it was at. But if you're going to do this where players are, you know, these horrible targeting calls and crackback blocks, which is just a fucking joke. If you ask me,
it's like taking uppercuts out of boxing.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw Jameson Williams tear his ACL a non-contact too. Cause I mean, yes, he got contacted like a half second later, but when he catches the ball and makes that move,
his knee popped before that.
Right.
And Patty C, we brought these numbers up, and I'm going to read from this. This is from a random website
study.
Yes. Yeah. Study, but a total of 3 million athlete exposures and 2,500 knee injuries were reported from 2004 to 2014, 1300, basically for almost 1400, 1389 MCL injuries, 522 ACL injuries, 269 lateral, 164. I mean, there's medial a, I don't even know what these fucking injuries are. The PCL, athletes experience all knee injuries at a significantly higher weight, higher rate. Can I read when participating? I feel like Dexter Manley here in competitions as compared with practices. Athletes participating in competitions on artificial turf experience PCL injuries at a 2.94 times rate as those playing on grass. And then also where we have ACL. So a 2.9 higher rate, almost three times the rate than playing on grass. And then that's just PCL. ACL injuries are at a 1.63 times rate. You're more likely to get injured there. So why are we playing these games in these on this fucking grass, on this fake grass, on this turf?
That's a substantially more dangerous playing environment than natural grasses. Definitely.
So let's cut the roof off this shit and have some real grass. All right.
I mean, I agree with you. And yeah, I mean, if you're going to look at head injuries and say player safety is always number one priority, but you're going to overlook. I mean, how many careers have ended on concussions? Some, right?
Yeah,
probably plenty.
Yeah.
Right. But a lot of careers end on ACL injuries, and what you've done,
not so much anymore.
Huh?
Not so much anymore.
Well,
back in like the 80s and 90s,
drastically impacted. Like coming back from an ACL injury, you still don't play at the same level you did before you got it. Generally speaking, you know it and then you're on thin ice. You're more likely to re-injure. It's just not good for a person. And then later in life, you're gonna have to have 10 surgeries. Like, I don't know if you're really looking at what it all comes down to is what I'm getting at is what is the injury du jour that they want to show the media that they care about the fucking players when they don't give a fuck, and by limiting these head injuries, what you're doing is you're also having players, let alone the Astros or the field turf, you're having the players hit in the knees, more often. And it's like player safety really isn't the thing. Public relations it's is really bullshit. What you're worried
about. Exactly.
Well, they're definitely trying to cover their own ass for sure.
Yeah. And anyone with a fucking brain knows they're full of shit. So can we stop it? Can we please stop it?
Yes. Play the games outdoors. Football was meant to be outdoors, you rat bastards. All right, folks, before I get to some other news, I want to tell you that the College Football Experience is brought to you by WinBet. Yeah, WinBet's now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WinBet is what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WinBet app now or visit winbet.com. That's WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit. Receive up to $500. In bonus cash, head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that lets you bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's BetterFantasy, BETTOR, Fantasy.com/SGPN. We're also brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution over at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. And last but not least, we're brought to you by us. Yes, the SGPN app is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. It's free to download, and it's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts and articles. So go grab that thing for free today. All right. Before we get out of here, guys, I want to take just a second to hit on some of this news here, get your guys' thoughts. John Rhys Plumlee, you might remember him from Ole Miss a few years ago. Oh, Nick, yeah. Patty C's boy. He is off to UCF. UCF. I actually think with Gus Malzahn on there, this is exactly what he wants. And it's like Auburn have with was it Nick Marshall when they?
When they won the
Nick Marshall, was it?
I think it might have been.
They won the national championship with Cam Newton.
They lost it with Nick Marshall.
Yeah, they lost it with Nick Marshall, though. They got there. and lost to Florida State, correct?
Yeah, they probably should have beaten Florida State, but anyway.
What do you make of
Nick
that?
Marshall, I haven't thought of that guy in a long time.
Yeah, a good reason for that. He's not that good.
But that's his style of quarterback that he wants there, is a dual threat athlete. And I think Rice Plumlee will fit fine at UCF.
Well, John Rice Plumlee is one of the most electrifying running quarterbacks that has somehow gone under the radar nationally. Like, I don't know if he has or not. To me, I didn't even know about him until after his freshman season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Mikey Keene as a true freshman played decent. I guess I think, you know, if he can improve, if he can make, you know, a first or second year leap, you know, he could be the, I mean, first off, you know, Mikey Keene could win the job.
Yeah.
So there's a little, you know, quarterback competition. I think Joey Gatewood, I think he's done there. I doubt if he, you know, is really in that competition, but yeah, I think it makes sense to bring in another quarterback, you know, have a little competition.
Yeah. Yeah. What else do we got here? Jaden Delora to Arizona. By the way, Arizona just landed a 4-star recruit in running back Speedy Luke. Arizona, keep an eye out on the Wildcats. What, Jaden Delora going from Wazoo to Arizona?
Questionable. It's not even lateral. Just move there. That's a downward move career wise.
Arizona might be good next year, right?
Well, I mean, the offense is definitely different. You're no longer in the air raid. To be honest with you, I didn't watch a whole lot of Arizona football this year. You probably saw more than me, Colby.
Yeah.
Can he thrive? I mean, it's not really a high passing attack offense, which, you know, it doesn't need to be for a quarterback, but it's more of like a balanced pro style, right?
Well, it was year one. Also, I think he was just adapting to his players. I'm drawing a blank on the coach right now. What's the coach's name? Jed Fish. So I just think he was kind of adapting to the players that he had.
You know what it might've been? I bet the chicks out in Eastern Washington, right, are not quite the same level as down in Tucson.
Well, you know, I think Jaden Delora's from Hawaii. He was a Rolovich guy.
So there's probably no shortage.
So there's probably
of
like
ass.
He's like, yeah, okay. No, I'm not talking about ass. I'm talking about he probably.
I'm locked in on this concept.
This guy's over here. He's just sold on ass. He's like, yeah, a lot of ass in Hawaii. He's probably, you know, not happy with the way things went down there. But at the same time, guys, and I don't know if you follow these composites on 24/7 sports for like the top transfers, the transfer portal, they rank it just like the recruiting trail. And, you know, there's Quinn Ewers and Caleb Williams, and then Jackson Dart, who just entered the transfer portal. At USC, 5 stars. Well, after that, ahead of Dylan Gabriel, ahead of Spencer Rattler is Cameron Ward, the incarnate word transfer. This guy was a beast as a freshman last year in the spring. And then this past year, he lit it up, almost beat Sam Houston State in the playoffs. He is going to Washington State. So Washington State responds by getting Cameron Ward. That was a big get.
Dude, like you said, Delora is a perfect example of just leaving for the sake of leaving. You're going to a worse situation for yourself. I feel like every quarterback in the country changes teams every single year at this point.
Well, you're pretty much there because look, Jackson Dart's going to go somewhere. He might go to UCLA. I don't know, but Dorian Thompson Robinson announced he was coming back.
Hey,
that's huge.
Huge for UCLA.
That's a rarity. Staying with the same team.
Yes. Holy shit. But how about Connell Bazelak? Did you guys catch this one? Leaving Missouri for Indiana.
Again.
He didn't have a very good season this year, I didn't think. I thought he kind of regressed a little bit. But last year, and I want to say he was a true freshman last year. I'm not positive, but he's a young guy with still has like 2 or 3 years left of eligibility. So I think it's a pretty nice get by Indiana if he can, you know, revert back to the 2020 season.
Yeah.
Speaking of Missouri, I was watching a couple of the highlights of that All-American game, I guess Under Armour All-American game. They got the number one receiver in the country, and he caught a touchdown on the first play of the game, of the All-American game. Holy shit. 5-star. He's going to be a fucking animal, man. Missouri, I didn't think they got those kind of guys.
Who's going to be their quarterback, though? Because Bazelak left, and then their backup, Sean Robinson, left. So they got to go out and get a quarterback in the transfer portal. Braxton Burmeister's out there.
Where does Sean Robinson go? He's the old TCU guy, right?
Yeah, he's in the portal. I don't think he's landed anywhere yet, but
Talk about leaving every year, Patty. This guy's
right.
Yeah. looking for his third team.
Wasn't it? I saw a guy. I wouldn't say he plays on Kansas basketball, maybe, or he's on something.
No, he's on Miami. Charlie Moore.
He's played for Charlie four different Moore.
He started his career at Cal.
Yeah.
He transfers to Kansas.
Yeah.
Then from Kansas, he goes to DePaul. And now he's at Miami.
This is his sixth year. He's a 6 year senior.
Come on.
And he just won in Cameron Indoor Stadium. He's got that memory. Good for him for coming back, because that's a memory he's going to have forever. Yeah.
He's like 25 years old going up against a Duke freshman who's 18.
Levi Williams, Wyoming's quarterback, transferred to Utah State. I hate seeing these ones that are in conference. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Casey Thompson, Texas to Nebraska. Nick, what'd you think of that? He's going to be with Mark Whipple.
Yeah, man, that's interesting there. He showed some flashes this year, and you know, we just saw what Whipple did with Kenny Pickett at Pitt. So that's interesting right there. I think Nebraska might have that guy.
Yeah. South Carolina's Jason Brown transferred to Virginia Tech, and Grant Wells from Marshall. Virginia Tech got two quarterbacks. Interesting there. Zach Calzada. From A&M to I love Auburn. How you say it
in the George W. Bush voice every time.
Calzada.
This guy's got crazy feet. Did Auburn get worse? Bo Nix is better than Zach Calzada.
You can't get
right?
crazier yes. feet than yes. Bo Nix, and somehow they managed it.
What else do we got? How about UConn landing to Taquan Roberson, a 4-star from Penn State?
UConn. Hell of fucking
Jim Mora
pulling it right
yeah,
away,
there getting it done. I think those were a lot of the quarterback ones. I know there's still a couple out there that we hit on. Maybe they land Gunnar Holmberg's out there, Nick, as well. So your boy.
But does ECU need anybody? Maybe he'll go to App State. Maybe he'll do the Chase Bryce route.
Bryce is back next year.
Next year.
Yeah, DeAndre Jackson, Texas A&M running back, transfers to Nebraska. Christian Beal-Smith from Wake Forest to South Carolina. South Carolina's loading up. They got Stogner, the tight end from Oklahoma. They got Spencer Rattler, the quarterback from Oklahoma. They get Christian Beal-Smith from Wake. They get JMU's receiver, who's a beast.
What the fuck is
I'm Wells, drawing a blank Wells. On his name. Yeah.
God, he's awesome. Dude, that dude's like a division. That's like an all American division one receiver.
Yeah, he's legit. South Carolina doing things, huh?
Beamer magic, baby. He's doing how many years till Virginia Tech snags him away from South Carolina? Are they going to be able to get him?
Pry's going to be the answer. Pry's going to take them to
Pry is well, the jury is very
got
much
that
out.
Wisconsin run coordinator. I like it.
Look, between
can Virginia Tech pry away Coach Beamer?
Hey-o. I'm going to say this. Between Don Staley spurning the Cavaliers for South Carolina and fucking Beamer being at South Carolina, the state of Virginia is taking some L's to South Carolina University.
All right, let me hit on a few more of these. Like I said, Jackson Dart in the transfer portal. Hassan Hall, the running back from Louisville, he goes to Georgia Tech. Alex Adams, LSU wide receiver, goes to Akron to Joe Moorhead, getting a big recruit from LSU. Or
I don't
transfer.
Recall him playing at LSU though, so he was probably pretty deep on that depth chart.
Still.
Anyone on that roster at Akron is all conference.
Big Ten preseason All American safety Brandon Joseph transfers from Northwestern to Notre Dame. I know we touched on this on Saturday.
Slap in the face.
That's
to
a
Pat
big
Fitzgerald.
Get for Notre Dame. And Notre Dame also Jared Patterson, their top offensive lineman, who was projected to go pretty high, announced he's coming back to Notre Dame. Notre Dame also hired Harry Highstand as their O-line coach. Highstand was there previously, where he had a bunch of players go in the first round, a bunch of offensive linemen. Nice get from Marcus Freeman. That's all I'm saying. How about Luke Fickell's comments about targeting?
Lovely.
Say,
I don't think I saw him. What did he say?
Patty C?
He said, if there's one penalty or one call in football that needs to be changed, it's to take the ejection out of the targeting.
Yeah.
You know, I agree.
If it's gratuitous hit, then sure, eject him. If it's just a glancing helmet to helmet contact, that should not be a
totally
fucking
agree. Agree. Totally agree. These players are moving very fast.
Yeah.
You know,
incidental head contact.
Exactly.
I say just get targeting out of the game. Just only if it's like unbelievably
happen.
Malicious.
It's not going to happen. I mean, don't worry about it.
Targeting has always
your breath.
been in the game to some extent. I don't know if it had the term.
That's what I'm saying. It has to be really malicious. Like most football games, you don't see a true targeting.
The crown of your helmet needs to hit someone on the bottom of their chin at top speed for that to be an ejection, in my mind.
Yes, exactly. Todd Orlando, former USC and Texas defensive coordinator, hired at Florida Atlantic. Taggart going to get Todd Orlando. Orlando, is that you? Jackson State, two top 50 recruits. They're one of only 10 schools in the nation that have done that. Nick, your thoughts?
That's awesome, man. I can't wait to see them on the field and see what Dion can do coaching wise. And do we know, have we seen their schedule for next year? Has that
it's
been
not
released?
Out yet. It's not out yet.
Tennessee State is on there, right? In the Memphis.
Well, I'm wondering if they play any FBS schools. That's what I'm wondering.
That's true. That is true.
Not yet that I'm aware of. But what I think needs to happen for primetime, maybe if not this year, then next year, is they schedule a non-conference game against North Dakota State.
They should. Okay. Yeah. They should.
Now, but going back to FBS versus FCS, like who in the FBS would schedule them now?
That's true.
I mean, it's like it's a no-win situation. It's
asking for trouble.
It's like North Dakota State. North Dakota State's been wanting to play more teams. Yeah. North Dakota State, though, I think they got Arizona to bite on the Bison.
Oh, they're fucked.
So Delora's going to have to face it.
They're going to get run roughshod over by North Dakota State.
All right. So look, we don't have any games, but we got the USFL podcast coming, the USFL gambling podcast, which will be coming in the coming weeks here as that season kicks off on April 16th. But I did want to highlight this week zero, August 27th. Before we get out of here, just going to highlight these games. Northwestern against Nebraska in Ireland. Hopefully COVID doesn't fuck this game because it fucked it last year.
Ireland's on lockdown too. Ireland's like Australia. Can't
that's what I'm saying,
dude. Another 9 months. This shit has to be over in 9 months. It's Omicron. Dude. It's a fucking cough at this point. Like, can we stop? Can we stop?
But that would be
back to the schedule, Colby.
That would be week zero. Northwestern, Nebraska. We have Wyoming at Illinois. And by the way, Xavier Holiday, Wyoming starting running back, also transferred to Arizona State today. That was a great get for the Sun Devils.
Nice. Especially with their top two running backs departing.
Yeah. Yeah. Musical chairs, man. I'm nervous because they said that Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son, who's Colorado's best offensive player. I'm hearing USC. Rivals is saying so USC. That's brutal. That's in the same division. I mean, let alone the same conference.
For him.
Not really, because I mean, come on, dude.
Yes,
how many?
Yeah, who was Colorado's quarterback this year? Good God.
Colorado's whole team is transferring. They need to hire Deion Sanders. Wyoming at Illinois. That's a nice game, right? Talk about smash mouth football. Bielma against the Cowboys. Both teams smash mouth. Vanderbilt at Hawaii. Cameron Cooper, the backup quarterback from Washington State, transferred to Hawaii. But I know Todd Graham. I think Bruce Feldman reported this that people were saying that
he's the biggest piece of shit on the planet. We all knew this. We knew this.
Any chance Hawaii knocks off the Commodores on the island?
Yeah, sure.
I think it will be a hard ticket to Hawaii for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't heard of that in a little bit.
For Todd Graham, it's been a hard ticket to Hawaii.
Yeah. Self-inflicted.
Nevada at New Mexico State. That's week zero. UConn at Utah State. Week zero.
They're going to get the fucking
Jim Mora. Era begins.
Challenging himself. I like it.
Austin Peay, the governor's hit the road to take on Western Kentucky without Bailey Zappi. And then you got a couple. You got Howard at Alabama State, Duquesne at Florida State, and Florida A&M at North Carolina. All week zero, though. At least you have like eight games. Yeah. All right, folks. Subscribe to the College Football Experience. Remember to subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. Remember the USFL Gambling Podcast coming soon. Subscribe to all of these things. Subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Get that SGPN app. It's live in the App Store and Google Play Store. And give me a follow on Twitter at the Colby D. Patty C is on Twitter at Patty C831. NC Nick's on Twitter at NC_NICK. The College Football Experience is on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. And the Sports Gambling Podcast Network's on Twitter at the SGP Network. Give them all a follow. Check out the Slack channel, Sports Gambling Podcast, as well, as we're always talking college football on there. This is the College Football Experience National Championship Recap Show and other talk. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here.